When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
So I know I feel like we regurgitate some of these subjects, but I mean, at the end of the day, life is life, and a lot of the same themes are going to keep coming up. And this one is about the concept of worrying. And in a previous opener, Janice was feeling particularly homicidal, and Autumn was backing her up, and I was trying to take a more zen point of view, and they were saying that I seemed very peaceful today. And the truth of the matter is that I am finally, after one of the most crappy years, I gotta tell ya, having like just a moment of like, okay, you know what? Quietness. You know, where I've gotten, you know, there was one, you know, I talked about this one lawsuit that was really upsetting to me on a previous show. I didn't say who or what, but just a real big betrayal. And, you know, we stuck to our guns and this person ended up with pretty much nothing. Absolutely cost me a gazillion dollars in legal fees, but I was like, I'm not going to settle this. I'm just not going to. No, not, wow. No way. And I paid probably 5 times as much in legal fees because of it, but it's like, that's gone. And like a lot of the nasty stuff that was in, you know, going on last year is gone and like in my past. And a lot of those really kind of toxic business relationships are gone, and it's taken a really long time to get to a place to kind of rid myself of these things. And I know that, you know, being who I am, tomorrow I'm going to get another lawsuit or accused of something else, just because that's just part, that's what comes with being a more public figure, right? And I get that. But I've gotten to a place where, like, okay, you make decisions and you know they're going to be really hard for you. You know they're going to come with all kinds of consequences. And that hallway, we've talked about the hallway being hell. Like you leave one, like you leave, let's say you leave a bad relationship and you're single and you're going through an abandonment depression and it's awful and it feels awful and you feel like you're going to die. But, you know, you finally get comfortable with it. You finally find your place with it. And then down the road, you end up meeting someone wonderful that never could have come into your life.
Right.
I think this whole year was me being like, no, I got to get away from everything toxic. I got to stand on my, you know, stand by my principles. I got to this. I got to that. I got to this. I got to that. And I'm finally, towards the end of the year, things are sort of just, ugh, there's just quiet, you know, like I'm not under siege. There's no one trying to destroy me. And again, I know that sounds crazy, but as a public figure, like people try to destroy you. It's just part of the business, you know, and I've talked about it, like lawsuits. It's like, hold on, you know, like the perfect example are the supplements, right? This was 5 years ago now at this point, but our supplements were doing really well. And all of a sudden, 4 class action lawsuits. They were all dismissed, But it doesn't matter. Jillian's a fraud and these products will kill you they'll kill you and they're dangerous. And, you know, despite the fact that not one adverse reporting on them was ever, you know, put in and this and that and the other and all the cases were dismissed. What do people remember? That you're a fraud and you tried to kill someone with your pills and you're a sellout and this and that, even though it was all natural and I had completely advocated everything in it in books years prior. But there's always that, you know, where it's like NBC calling, they actually didn't call me a cheater because they couldn't get away with calling me a cheater. But, you know, trying to say, like, to get ratings, oh, she, you know, oh, broke the rules, despite the fact that the contestants are allowed unlimited amounts of caffeine. Or, you know, it's just, like, that kind of stuff is just, that's kind of the business that I'm in. You know, people will always try to just destroy you, whether it's and it's always about money. It's always about money. But I finally got to this place where I'm like, I'm at this good spot where no one's actually, there's not a cannon pointing at me at this particular second. So I said to my shrink, I'm like, my God, you know, I forgot what it feels like to just be me, because I have felt like I was just living under attack for the entire year, whether it's billionaire neighbors that are trying to attach squatters' rights to my property, or individuals that had worked within my immediate surrounding that essentially tried to blackmail me with, you know, frivolous lawsuits that I, you know, didn't settle, as I mentioned, or you know, businesses where you're just, and I think that people do experience this kind of stuff, maybe not on the kind of level I do, but as in, like, you know, on this public level that I do, but people experience getting stabbed in the back, having people try to destroy their little businesses, competitions try to destroy their businesses. You know, my Heidi's sister opened up a nail salon and a woman slipped and said, oh, I'm going to sue you, so you better give me X amount of money because I slipped because you lotioned my foot. You know, and these things will put a small business out of business.
Right.
Anyway, the point that I'm trying to get at is, here I am and I have spent the entire year just, I mean, my stress level was through the roof. I was like, just, I mean, we know it's been a hard, hard year. And I finally got to this place where I have some peace. And I said to my shrink, I'm like, I'm able to just even being around my kids. Cause, you know, I would be with my kids playing, but in my mind, I'd be just rolling through the, I got to do this, I got to do that. Oh my God, this could happen. Oh my God, that could happen. What about this? What about that? And you're there. You're there, physically there, and you're going through the steps, but you're not actually feeling what it feels like to play with your kids.
Because you're not present.
No, you're not. Yeah. You're not. You're under so much stress that you're not present. And I said to my shrink, I'm like, I read this quote, and we may have talked about it on the show. I read it a while ago, and it's, you know, I've always been one of those people that it's like, when everything falls into place, I'll be at peace. And the quote is, be at peace and everything will fall into place. Like, that's what you're supposed to be.
Right.
And I've never been able to do it. I just can't. I'm like, I don't know how to feel at peace when I feel constantly under attack. And he, you know, my shrink is like, well, you know, oh, historically, you must have always felt under attack, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, I hear you, dude. But like, for real, the things I'm telling you are real, you know, and other celebrities, it happens to them all the time. But like, you don't really, like, Adam Sandler had something that just came out in the press where he had his nanny called him a slave driver and they settled it quietly. He just gave her money to make her go away. And then she decided she wanted more money and broke the arbitration and sued him. Well, he won and then it went to the media. But I was like, that's, of course, you would never hear about the fact that his nanny was basically blackmailing him and saying, you're a slaver. And, you know, if you don't pay me this money, I'm going to go public with you're a slaver. And then, of course, he goes, his people go, oh, my God, Adam Sandler, one of the most likable people. You know, will people believe it? Will it hurt his Q score? Or just pay her. And so it's kind of like, you know, other celebrities deal with it. But, you know, no one talks about it. And it's just par for the course. So I have to get to a place where I know this is par for the course. It is just par for the course. It's just part of life. And how do I find peace in the chaos? Because how long is the dust going to stay settled? How long? Not long. Guarantee it. So how then do you find peace when you're in, how do you become the eye of the storm instead of, you know, one of the leaves blowing around in it. Mm. And he said, well, let's look at this for a second. Here we are. We're at the end of the year. Are you still standing? Yeah. Still got a roof over your head? Yeah. Kids still alive? Yeah. You still alive? I'm like, yeah. You guys still eating? Yeah. He's like, so how much energy, physically and psychologically, did you waste on things that didn't come to pass? And I just, Janice, I was like, you know, because I kept thinking like, no, I'm right. No. This was a real situation. No. It was awful. No. I felt betrayed. No. It was horrible. And as horrible as it is, my ultimate fear, I have this homeless fear, like not quite literally homeless, but like I'm going to lose everything. I'm going to be destroyed. And I didn't have it until the kids. Once I had the kids, man, life takes on a different, just, oh my God, you suddenly feel the weight of the world because I'm like, I'm responsible for them. Like, if people hate me, like, then they're going to have a mom who's hateable, and how's that going to affect them mm-hmm. in school? You know, if I lose everything and then they have to go to public school and not, you know, private school, like, how's that going to affect their chances of getting in college? If I, you know, it's fascinating how I never cared until the kids, and now I really do care. Because I want to be able to like provide them with all this stuff and maintain their lifestyle and so on. But the point is I worried and wasted a year of my life. And I mean it, boy. It was one of the most hellish years. Most hellish. And ironically, we got a lot done this year. A lot of great things. But, oh my God, what a just hard-ass year. And I spent all this time worrying and stressing, and at the end of the year, when all has been said, done, and resolved, I'm still standing. And so I guess if you're somebody who does that and just is so caught up in like worry and anxiety and stress, stop for a second and try to be really present. Like in the moment, are you okay? Are you currently okay? You know, is the roof over your head? Are you feeding your family? You know, are you okay? Are you physically okay? Are you emotionally okay? If the answer is like, well, I'm currently okay, dude, just try to be in the moment. Try to enjoy that playtime with the kids because you're never getting it back. You're never getting it back. The lost time, that's the one thing that you will regret is never getting that back. And, you know, when you come to the end of it, 9 times out of 10, the thing you thought was going to happen doesn't actually end up happening. And if that 10th scenario, the worst case scenario does happen, and it does from time to time, you'll deal with it when it happens. You deal with it when it happens and you take it step by step, but don't allow yourself to waste so much energy and so much time and so much resource on what could happen.
It's like the acronym for fear is false evidence appearing real.
Yeah.
Right. And it's true. I mean, I completely empathize. I can make up all kinds of scenarios because of fear, but yours is this is. I think what your shrink had you do is really a very simple gratitude list in a few minutes, and that brought you back. That centered you again. You know.
Yeah. And just also exactly though false evidence, like none of it happened.
Yeah.
And had it, by the way, had it happened, you know,
you would have survived.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It does do damage. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to kid you. The supplement thing did damage. It did a lot of damage, yeah. You know, because people to this day, I was even sitting at dinner with a friend of mine and we were talking about like, okay, you know, and I was saying how surprised I was that certain female driven networks had passed on the show. And she goes, you know, it's funny. I had a friend that works in this production company and she goes, I told her you were doing that. And she's like, yeah, you know, I would really worry about that pill thing. And I was like, the pill thing? The supplement lawsuits from 5 years ago? And that's what this woman remembers about me. And by the way, never does any homework to go, whatever happened with that? Like, oh, they were all dismissed as frivolous. Oh, I guess it was a ploy for money. Nope. That's what she remembers. They hurt you. But guess what? It hurt me? Yes. Has it blocked me in some paths? Yes. You know, so I'm like, all right, what can I learn from this? Okay, got it. How can I move forward? Okay, got it. Am I still standing despite the fact that it hurt my brand? Yes. Yeah, still standing.
Yeah.
Still here. And the ones that, you know, the people that do resonate with you, who you really are as a person, are going to do their homework. And that's the bottom line. Like, the people that listen to the podcast know who I really am and what I'm really about, and they identify with that or they don't, you know? And if it really, in an interesting sort of way, allowed me to create a deeper connection with people that are like-minded, because they did the homework on me and said, no, I get it. I know what this is about. And this is consistent with her message, and this is what happened, and this, that, and the other. But
the people, you know, it
will hurt you, but you'll still be standing.
It's like when you do an amends and, you know, and the person does not feel like forgiving you. Like if you have, when you're cleaning up your side of the street, and some people will forgive and some people will hang on. It's like the woman who's hanging on to the supplement thing. It's like that becomes their stuff. That becomes their thing they're hanging on to for whatever reason. You've done your work.
Yeah.
You cleaned it up. You know, you proved yourself, and that it wasn't true, and that's all you can do.
That's all you can do.
Yeah.
And even when it hurts you, I'm still fine.
Yeah.
It happened, it came, it went. I mean, I'm more successful than I was 5 years ago. So, you know, I guess I look at it as, would I be even more successful if that didn't happen? Instead of going, and that's what I said to my shrink. He's like, are you successful? I'm like, yeah. Are you more successful than you were 5 years ago? I was like, well, of course I am. And he's like, okay. And I was like, but the question is, would I be even more successful?
False evidence appearing real.
Would I be even more successful today had that not, smear campaign come out? And it's like, enough. It's enough.
Mm-hmm.
So don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Don't allow false evidence or things you think are going to happen or things you think could have happened to ruin the present moment.
Mm-hmm.
That you will never get back.
Amen. I don't know why it just felt right to say that.
Hallelujah. Let's not say anything else religious, though. I don't want to offend anyone.
I'm just saying amen.
Because, like, what if you said, like, praise Jesus? Then we would need to go through everybody's God. Buddha. And the problem is I would show my ignorance here because I don't know all of the gods.
Well, but a god, God can be... Oh, no, we're going to get into this.
No,
oh,
just cut it here. Okay. I'll do a little fitness segment for you.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Here we go. This one is on medicine balls. So... I saw this guy at the gym the other day, and he was working out with a medicine ball, but for, like, all the wrong ways for all the wrong reasons. And he had, you know, there are a couple different kinds of medicine balls. There's the basketball-esque kind of medicine ball, and then there's, like, the old-school leather boxing kind of medicine ball. But when you're using, like, that whole basketball-esque kind of a thing, or even the big medicine, leather medicine, boxing medicine ball, you're really not shooting for weight. This is not really a tool where you're like, I must go heavier. It's more about speed and explosive power. So, you know, first of all, the ball is meant to be hitting things, whether it's the wall or the floor. And I have seen some people use them for push-ups. It's like, I roll the ball. And okay, you know, you can use it for that. There's nothing wrong with that. But what I wanted to kind of do was... really explain what we're supposed to use it for. So, or what it's intended to use it for. So, it's a ballistic piece of equipment. It's meant for explosive power, not a tremendous amount of resistance. You want to use the ball to hit things, whether it's the floor or the wall. And it's not just about pushing. It's not just, I'm throwing it with my shoulders. You want to engage your core, your chest, stabilize your body, and do your drills. So, like, one drill that I got from a boxing coach, you face the wall, and it's a push drill. You essentially bounce the ball
repetitively, as quickly as you can manage, into the wall, catch, return, catch, return,
from
catch,
your chest.
Return. Yep. Exactly. But you stabilize your core. Now, there are three different stances to make this, and there's a million different things. You've seen the rotational tosses where you stand sideways with the wall and then you rotate your torso, throw under the wall, catch, rotate, throw under the wall, catch, rotate, or the overhead slams where you hold it up above your head, squat down, big exhale, fold at the belly button, pick it back up, repeat. But the idea again is you want to work on your speed. Like, if you want to make it harder, make it faster. Not,
okay.
Oh, hold on, I have an 8-pound ball and I'm bouncing into the wall. I need a 25-pound ball. That's about how quick can you go and how explosively can you throw it.
Gotcha.
Not how much is it weighing on your shoulder when you're passing it. So I think that's kind of a misconception for it. You know, you want to go harder with it as you get better, but not necessarily heavier. You know, you'll be tossing around a 30-pound ball, and in some cases, the most you need is 8 pounds.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just not necessary. So when you get more fit, increase your speed and the power, the explosive power of the throw, the slam, the toss. Now, there are different ways of standing that can make the move more challenging. So let's say you're doing wall slams and you're facing the wall in a squat stance. Your feet are shoulder width apart, right? Firmly planted on the ground. Then maybe you stand in a split stance, which is like you're getting ready to do a lunge, a stationary lunge. So 1 foot forward, 1 foot back. The hardest one you can do, and I've done them on some of my DVDs, is a straight line lunge. You stand with your feet so that they're lined up front to back on a straight line.
Okay.
And this is really going to challenge your balance.
And then what are you doing with it, though?
You're doing wall
balls. Gotcha. Okay.
Right. You can do, of course, there's many different ways you can do it. From the chest against the wall, squatting down, throwing it up on the ceiling, catching it and slowly lowering, the overhead slam and all of that. But again, just remember there are very few of these exercises where you need weight. Think speed. And because I think this is going to be too short, I tacked on another little fitness tidbit that I kind of wanted to jump on top of about kipping pull-ups. Do you know what this is, Manis?
Well, because I think I do. It's where you give a little, you pull up with a little kick, and then you get above the bar.
Kind of, yes.
I kind of would like to do it, but
no.
But I don't believe you've told me that it's not good for my body.
Okay.
Or it's hard on my joints.
It's very hard on the joints. So, kipping, like you see gymnasts do it, like when they do those parallel bars, and essentially it's kind of tough to explain, and Bob was really into it, and we were fighting about it once, and I was like, why are you doing this? And he's like, well, it's about efficiency. How many pull-ups can you do? I'm like, but who is going to need to do 50 pull-ups in a minute, like, in real life? What is the purpose of that? Like, sure, a pull-up, yes, you never know when you may need the strength to do a pull-up, but... And by the way, what if in real life you're having to pull yourself up over a wall? You can't really kip on a wall. You need actual strength to be able to do it. But, you're going to kip up you're climbing a rope? Like, I just was like, well, in reality, like, are you kipping from tree branch to tree branch? Because if we're really thinking about what are we pulling ourselves up? I mean, a rope, a wall? Like, you couldn't even kip if you wanted to. But, like, gymnasts do it because it's like, you know, they kind of kip up and they get on top of those bars and lock their arms. And sure, but the reason that I'm anti the kipping pull-up is just I don't see a practical use for it, period.
Except
and
show.
I see practical use in building strength from what's called a strict pull-up. You lower down, you pull up. Great. That's a strict pull-up. And efficiency, when are you doing 50 pull-ups in a minute? Like, ever. So, and the problem is that most people don't have the strength, or they haven't developed their tendons, their ligaments, or their muscles to be able to do a kipping pull-up and do it right. So it's causing many shoulder injuries for a lot of different people. And if you're a gymnast or you're a flat-out CrossFitter, and you need to do these things to compete in the games, okay. But for the majority of the population, I just don't
I don't see the necessity for this technique, and therefore I don't see a reason to engage in the risk.
Gotcha.
Period. Now, what I would say is, if you are going to do it, make sure you can do regular pull-ups, strict pull-ups. Before you even attempt it, you should be able to do, I'd like to say 5 of them. I've heard, you know, some professionals say 3. I say 5. If you can't do 5 strict pull-ups, I don't think you should ever be playing around with it. And a lot of times people will do it because they can't do a regular pull-up.
Great,
so they're
using momentum. I mean, that's...
You're swinging your pelvis, essentially.
Right.
Like, it's as though... Imagine you had, like, someone's hand in front of you and you want to thrust your chest forward and kind of touch your chest to their hand, and then, you know, you push your low back, you like thrust your hips forward and your back. So it's like someone will put their hand in front of your chest and your back, and you put your chest on their hand and your back on their hand, and you kind of whoop, and you sort of like hoist yourself up with like this, that kipping movement, a thrusting of the hips. And, you know, again, if you get it wrong, you're going to hurt your elbow, you're going to hurt your shoulder, and a lot of people get it wrong. So one of the things that I would recommend, take a rubber band, like one of those giant fitness rubber bands. You throw it over the bar, the pull-up bar. Pull one end through the other, so you've looped it around the bar. Put your foot in it. Stand in it.
Oh,
and
okay.
It helps you build up strength.
Mm-hmm.
And we've done segments on how to build up pull-up strength and, you know, do negatives. You know, first hold yourself above the bar, then slow lower yourself below the bar. You could use an assisted machine, but I'm just going to say, unless you're a gymnast or you're a competitive CrossFit athlete, unless you can do at least 5 strict pull-ups, I don't get it. I don't, and the risk is just too great unless you're a really coordinated athlete with fantastically developed connective tissue and musculature. No.
Okay.
No, all right.
All right.
You were bored. See, you always want these segments, and you were bored.
No, I was not bored at all. I found that very interesting, and I found the rubber band very helpful.
Sure. All right,
man. I would like to do it just for parlor tricks, just so I could say, hey, you know, it's a family dinner, and say, hey, everybody, I'd like to show you my latest kip, and then impress people or take bets. Okay. You know, like people could say, hey, look at me. Do you think I could do it? And then make some money in bars.
Okay.
Do some bars.
That sounds like a good
good plan for you, Janice.
Yeah, because that's what I want to do now that I haven't been drinking for 10 years is to go back in bars and kip for cash.
Hustle people. Hustle kips.
That's right.
Kip for cash.
Okay.
I don't think they'd pay you for that.
No, I doubt it either.
Imagine waking up every day excited to go to work. Well, not to a new job per se, but to a rewarding career where you can be your own boss by becoming a certified personal trainer with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Certified personal trainers work with pro athletes, sports teams, A-list celebs, and by the way, my absolute favorite, everyday people who just need a little help, a little encouragement, and a little instruction. So guess what? You can do something you love, and you can make great money doing it. And these guys guarantee that you will get a job within 60 days of earning your certification, or they will refund your money. Get a 14-day sneak peek of their online program for free at myusatrainer.com. That's myusatrainer.com. Okay, guys and girls, it's Dollar Shave Club time. Check it out. Bottom line, awesome razors, affordable price. These guys are going to send you a free little handle, and every month or every other month, depending upon your need, you're going to get replacement blades at a fraction of the in-store price. So if you're buying those packets of disposable pink razors, or you're dropping $20 on the fancy, stop it. You can get a great shave at a fraction of the price. Check out dollarshaveclub.com/Jillian now. They guarantee you're going to love the razors, or they're going to give you your money back. So get some for yourself. Get some stocking stuffers for the family. Go to dollarshaveclub.com/Jillian. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Jillian. Okay. So what I would like to discuss is work-life balance.
Okay.
All right. I think we need to get real here.
Oh, gee, because...
I think we need to get real.
All right.
The bottom line is that casual Fridays is not work-life balance. You know, but I think that we make these, like, false attempts of thinking that we can have it all, do it all, and that's just not possible. You know, you can't have a good career, you can't have health, you can't have a family, but there are certain jobs that are just never going to lend themselves to being engaged with a young family. Period. End of story. It just, there aren't. There are not. And I think, you know, we feel like we should be able to, you know, run a corporation and put food on the table and, you know, be a picture of fitness and be the perfect wife or the perfect husband and be the perfect parent. And you can't do it. It cannot be done. Can you find meaning in all these aspects of your life? Yes. Can you find happiness and health? Yes. But perfection, getting it all perfect, getting it all right? No. And I think the first thing we need to do is get real about the fact that certain jobs just are not ever going to allow you to be that parent that you want to be or be the spouse you want to be. And I watched a TED Talk and, oh God, forgive me, I cannot remember his name. He's an Australian guy. And he wrote a book called, like, Fat Something, Fat 40 and Unemployed. And he was talking about how, you know, as a man, he was speaking for men, but I'll speak for everybody here. That work-life balance, it's like you work these crazy hours and it causes you to eat too much and drink too much mm-hmm. and sleep too little and work too much. And, you know, by the time you think, oh, well, when I'm retired, that's when I'm going to enjoy your life. And then you're grossly unhealthy. Your wife has left you and your kids resent you. It's like, you know, that's not a solution. It's not a solution, man. And, you know, then it's like, okay, you know, you think about a perfect day in your life. And this guy was kind of saying, I would love to sleep in and have sex with my wife and then walk my dog and then take my kid to school and then work for 3 hours and then go to the gym. And then I'll work for 3 more hours and then I'll meet a mate for a drink, an early drink. And then I'll go home and I'll have dinner with my family and I'll put my son to bed and I'll have sex with my wife. And he's like, and that's never going to happen. He's like, how many times do you think I have a day like that? Never. And the point that this guy was trying to make is he's like, look, you know, waiting for retirement is not realistic.
No.
Expecting to have to figure it out so your day every day is perfectly balanced is also impossible. But one of the things that he was suggesting, which I realized is really effective, is having small things every day that make a big difference. So he gave an example of his wife calling him and saying, they have 4 kids, animals. And his wife says, you got to go pick up, you know, Harry, their youngest son, and you got to go pick him up. I got the other 3 kids and we got to do something. You got to get him from school and whatever. So he cuts out of work an hour early or something. I guess his kid was in like daycare or something until 4 or whatever. Cuts out of work, picks up his son. They go to the playground. They play for like an hour. They have dinner. He, you know, gives the kid a bath and puts him to bed. And his son looks at him and goes, Dad, obviously a little kid, this was the greatest day of my life. And he's like, I didn't take him to Disneyland. You know, I didn't, like, we didn't go to a game. I didn't buy him a massive pizza. Like, and he goes, I, you know, it wasn't like I took my kids to Disney World. He's like, I spent, you know, one night in my work week, I spent some time with him. I went to play for an hour. I this, I that. And he was like, these small things can transform relationships, health, various aspects. And he was talking about trying to find these minutes in your life or these hours where you can have more balance instead of going, well, the whole day needs to have everything in it. Or I'm not going to do anything until I get to the end, and that's where I'll put it all in.
Yep.
And I just, and I struggle. I think, I find that, you know, it's funny because I envy Heidi. I envy her. And this is so typical, I think, of any relationship where she gets to stay home with the kids. And I work. And then I think she, on some level, envies me because she's like, well, you're, you know, you're out in the world all day long dealing with adults. And the grass is always greener to a certain extent. But it's so hard for me to figure out. I'm like, well, I'm not a good mom because I'm not like Heidi. You know, I'm not there all the time. And I, you know, and then I got to work and then this and that. And it just, but I, if I can make enough time, you know, so it's like, all right, I'm going to do this much. I do the mornings. I do the evenings. I try to carve out these special times that my kids can count on me. And you know what? One night a week, I get to see my friends maybe, and I don't get to see them every day, but it's like that one night a week I see them. I really, it counts and it's awesome. And, you know, I get to the gym 4 half-hours a week. I'm not getting to the gym 1 hour, 6 days a week and traveling to my favorite yoga class, which is 90 minutes. I'm not. But, like, if I get one in on Saturday, one yoga class in, like, that's awesome. And I think that this balance, what this point this guy was making is spot on. Can you carve out, you know, 1.5 to 2 hours a day? And whether it's, you know, your health, you're this, you're that, you're this. Can you, your kids, can you insert these moments? And it will carry you a long way. You may not be at every game. You may not be at every spring sing. You may not be at everything, but you care. You go when you, you know, 1 out of every 3 events, 1 out of every 4 events.
Sure.
And I just think it's something. It's something. What?
No, I it's so funny how we do believe that if it can't be that perfect day, like how he described his day and getting up and having sex and going to this and having a drink
and working out and seeing his friends,
you know? And it doesn't feel like, but it's those moments, you know, it's those moments that.
And the bottom line is, you know, something. And he made this point, and it was so true. Commercial companies are designed to get the most out of you possible, even if it's casual Friday. Like, they're not designed to, go. See your kids. No, really. It'll wait. Hell no. It's like, well, you know, this person over here is going to get it done faster or take your job. And you know what? That is corporate America.
Yeah.
So if you really don't thrive on that, it might be time for a different job. It might. Period. Damn labor laws. I have to give these employees vacations and things.
When you mentioned casual Friday, I thought you meant like when people are allowed to wear jeans.
I do.
Have you ever gone into like some places where everybody's casual Friday and like they're like in these jeans and they just don't look like they would normally wear jeans, but they're wearing jeans because it's casual Friday, and it's like they force themselves. There's just not, you know, like I'm not a jean gal.
I've seen you wear jeans.
And I don't look good in jeans.
Yeah.
I don't look,
you
I
look great in jeans.
I look good in like sweatpants.
No, you feel comfortable in sweatpants.
Autumn
you
wouldn't
look
wear
great
jeans.
In
I
jeans.
Don't think I've ever seen Autumn in jeans.
I wear jeans.
Sort of like Stevie Nicks. Everything, like, is flowy.
Well, like, I do look like a hippie today.
No, you are
I look like my Aunt Mary.
No, you are Stevie Nicks.
I thought she
was Stevie.
Don't you love to love her? Autumn's got, like, the scarf on, and I want to turn the fan on her.
Woohoo! You know what? I'd like to see you in one of Tomb's flowies.
No. You first, Newsie.
No, I wouldn't. No, I do not suit the flowy. I do not suit the tight.
I mean, looking at what you have on right now, I find it, you know, you have 2 completely different colors of gray on, right?
I'm matching.
No, you're not, though. You're wearing 2 completely different colors.
Well, how do you possibly match grays?
Of grays. You would have to do, like, a light gray and a dark gray. And what you have on are 2 grays that are attempting to be the same color, but aren't. And one's heathered and one's not. And one's like a green gray and one's like a blue gray. So you just look really
weird. You have to admit, though, I do look better. I look better as a winter. Like,
what's she talking about?
Like this is where this is why sometimes living in Canada is good for me, because that's when I really shine, is in a fleece. Like,
oh my God.
Like when I lived in California and I had to wear skimpies, you know, like that shirt you tried me to get to put on tour. She tried to get me to wear one of her shirts on tour,
well,
and she said
she
hated my shirts, and she goes, wear one of mine. So I had to strip down and put on her shirt. I haven't had a shirt on that small since I was attached to my mother's teat. Okay? It was so tiny. It was like a baby shirt. And I put it on, and I look like Amazon. I went, you got to be freaking kidding me. And she's like, it matches your pants.
It did.
Yeah.
It did.
It was this big.
It was a shirt that I wanted
it was
to
from the
book.
It was from the Garanimal store.
What color was it?
Orange.
The salmon.
Yes.
I like that one.
It sure, nice shirt if you're two.
I mean, honestly.
No, you're crazy. Look.
All I'm saying is I look good in a fleece. And that day you made fun of me at that restaurant.
And your Wolverine jacket?
And my Wolverine. I think you wanted me. Because.
Well, this turned.
This segment has turned. Because I look good in the winter clothes. Give me a fleece and a Gore-Tex gloves. You can't keep the gals off me. And that's why that night was so... I've been trying to figure out why that night upset you so much when I showed up in my Wolverine jacket. And I think it's because you were slightly attracted to me.
You don't think it's because we lost the campaign? You don't think that was it?
No, I think... That's right.
You don't think that could have been
we
it?
We did lose the campaign. But I think
you don't think that had anything to do with it.
I think it confused you because I think you looked at me and you went, "Oh, I'm strangely somehow a little bit attracted."
Oh, and there goes all that sponsorship money for the tour and the podcast. all right.
All I'm saying is, God, I can turn things around and make it all about me. I'm so sorry. Oh, there were casual Fridays. That's where we were. Now, did you have anything else you wanted to say about this topic? About work-life balance. That's what this segment's about.
Yeah, this is definitely getting a lowercase letter now.
All right, we're back, and since Jillian just loves to have kits in the room.
Yes.
Jake is still in New York.
Yeah.
I mean, how dare he?
And look how fast I replaced you, you little punk.
Right.
We have a hotter new boyfriend, you little wiener.
So Kitz is here. And Kitz has a question.
Huh? It's question time.
Question time.
Yes, Kitz. How can I help?
Do you guys have something you want me to ask?
I like your question. Your question. Yeah.
Yeah. So I can't find the motivation. I work crazy hours. I cannot find the motivation to get to the gym.
Here's what I think your problem is. You're not fat, and you're not old, and you're not really out of shape, and I think that's why.
Yeah, but I
you don't have the motivation.
But
all right, here's where we got to look at, like, all right, because I actually have had similar conversations with people like you, Jake actually being one of them, and I think... You know, you go in your mind, it's like, well, I know I should, and I could be that much more fit, and I'll feel that much better, and I know it's the right thing to do, and like this and that. But I think when you're looking at your life going, well, I'm young and I'm focused on my career, or like my priority is like girls or whatever it might be, and there's not a pressing need, and you're like, you're not sick, you're not overweight, you're not struggling with your health, you don't have children that are running you into the ground, my presumption, of course. So the motivation, it's hard to find it. So then you tell me right now, why do you think you should be going to the gym?
I'd like to put some muscle on.
Uh-huh. Okay.
You know, just some tone, really for appearance.
Fair enough. That's fine. And it doesn't matter. What are you doing? You animal?
I was just finishing my sandwich. But I didn't want to leave it smelly.
Oh my God,
there's a whole crowd.
I'm working...
What up with the fishbowl?
With kids.
Right.
Wait, now you have to explain this whole thing? Ugh. Janice, there's a window, and people walked up and looked in. Janice got upset and was eating in the corner. I'm trying to answer. What are you doing?
I'm good now.
Are you ready to work?
Mm-hmm. I'm eating.
You know, you slack off every time Kitz is in the studio, and you take it as an opportunity to have a lunch break in the middle of the show.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. That was just like a yes.
Yep. Yes, that's true. Couldn't you pass your chocolate? I would like a little piece of chocolate now. Thank you.
You ready to work?
Yep, ready.
Ready to work?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, kids, there's no reason, right, that's going to be too superficial or too profound. It doesn't have to be, oh, I want to live to meet my great-grandchildren. It could just be quite simply, which it was for me at your age, like, I just want to look better naked.
Well, yeah.
Right? Fair enough. So what you got to then really think about is how the quality of your life is going to improve by looking better naked. I think the answer is obvious, but that, when you're sitting there going, ugh, do I go? Do I not go? Who really cares? It's good enough. You then have to weigh the pros and cons of, all right, if I cut time away from this and put it on that, how's it going to pay off in the long run? How can I get it to pay off quickly? And you've got to put that why, that very detailed reasoning, in the dead center of your focus and your perspective. Because in the moment, nobody's going to want to choose chicken over pizza. You know, nobody's going to want to choose the gym over drinking with friends at happy hour. Very few people are going to go, oh, all my buddies are going to the bar at, you know, for happy hour. Hold on, I'm going to go for a jog. Like, it just, you know, there are the few people that might have a very social environment at a workout space. And I think that's actually really good for people because it does encourage them to go. It's like, oh, all my friends are going. And I think that's what's worked really well for CrossFit is they've got that kind of community thing. So you're seeing all your buddies there. But have you tried? Have you thought about those things?
The thing is, as soon as I always think about doing it, as soon as I get home, I cannot get myself off the couch.
Okay. You avoid going home then. So that this is, so here's where we sort of troubleshoot a problem with something we call cognitive behavioral control. I'm probably reversing the letters, sorry, long day. But the bottom line is we look at behavioral techniques that we can employ to help manipulate our attitude and our behavior. And if you go, you know what, every time I go home, I literally just, I'm like, that's it. I'm done. Home represents the end of a long day, and I worked really hard, and I deserve to just chill out. You don't go home. So then you say, all right, I'm going to manipulate my environment by bringing my gym bag with all my stuff. So on, and then try to find a gym between wherever you are at the end of your day and your house so that it's on the way home. If that doesn't work, make an appointment with a friend. See if you can. We're like, you're just going, oh, God, I'd rather be dead than do this. But, you know, I'll be like, ugh, you know, Jeanette is expecting me at the Santa Monica stairs. Kill me now. But I know, I'm like, oh, she's there. I have to go. She came all the way from West Hollywood in the car, and it'll get me to go. I'll manipulate myself. Like, if I'm training myself, I don't train very hard. No, I just can't. I'm like, nah, it's good enough. I'm like, it's good enough. I look fine. I'm healthy enough. It's good enough. But it, like, if I'm in a class, then I'm like, oh, God, people have expectations of me. It makes me work harder. Or if I work out with a friend who's a trainer, they push me and my ego. I'm like, well, I'm paying for their time. I'm here. Everybody's watching again. And I guess I'm going to have to do it. You have to kind of manipulate yourself. So pick a gym on the way home. Bring a gym bag with you. And then when you have that, like, oh, I'd rather be dead, think about, all right, this is going to, you know, in a month's time, I'm going to see a huge difference, and it's going to pay off in the following ways, and that will help push you. Have you ever thought about that?
The other thing is, I find gyms intimidating. I haven't
Stop
really...
Stop it!
No, I haven't...
Stop!
I haven't worked out in a long
Come
time.
Come on!
And I feel like I don't know how to use the equipment, and I feel like gym people...
Kitsy, stop!
Gym people have, like, a... you know, you don't look like you know what you're doing, and like, I don't know, I feel out of place.
You're lying.
No.
No, you don't.
Absolutely true. Like, I know how to use it.
Yeah, but like, women. Women that are like, you know,
no.
People are judging me.
No.
Not Kitsy.
No, guys feel that. My brother, that's what keeps him from the gym because it would be foreign. He hasn't been to a gym in 50 years.
But is he a young kid?
I don't know how to use the equipment. I know how to use a treadmill.
Seriously?
Yeah.
Wow. All right. So here's what we need to do. Okay. So when you join a gym, oftentimes they'll give you a session, like a free session with the trainer to show you around the facility.
Orientation, it's called.
Yes.
Orientation, yes. Jillian.
So there's that. There's that option. Another option, I hate to say, but this is what all the cool kids do nowadays. You YouTube it. Swear to God. You know, or you go on Men's Health and they have these little the website, and they'll have these little videos of like body weight exercises or ways to use, a kettlebell.
That's how I learned to change the taillight in the minivan, my dad's minivan.
Oh my God. It's how one of my assistants, not Tomb over here, but a young strapping kitsy named Cody, learned how to use a tractor.
It's all there.
He just YouTubed it. I'm like, how do you know how to do this? He's like, YouTube.
YouTube.
I was like, you what? He's like, he was hauling 2,000-pound bags of dirt off of a truck with a tractor that he had rented in my backyard. And I was like, my God, look at you. And I was like, I didn't know you could do this. He's like, I couldn't. I went on YouTube.
See? Treadmills?
See?
Taillights and tractors.
Yeah, you YouTube it.
It's how I tie a tie every time, and I still don't know how to do it. But I know how to watch the video and do what they're doing.
Yeah. Okay. So I think, an orientation. I think some YouTube videos. But it might not hurt, get all that said. Maybe if you could afford it, because by the way, there are a lot of personal trainers out there. And,
He's got money. He's got dough. He's got dough.
Ladies. Hey, ladies!
He's got dough.
Not that I'm implying anybody should be gold digging or anything. I'm just saying.
He's got some cash.
Take you to a nice restaurant. All right, well, let's presume that if Kitsy didn't have cash.
Because
some people don't have cash. So let's say if you don't have cash, but maybe you've got the free option of Googling everything. But if you've got maybe a little more cash, you can invest in a personal trainer. And again, they're all like, you can find personal trainers in the middle of the country for like $25 a session. I mean, a spin class in Missouri is like $6. A spin class in LA is $34. It's crazy.
Yeah.
I know this because one of my little contestants from Biggest Loser a couple seasons or whenever the heck I don't even remember now. It's like a blur, but lives in Missouri and he's like, a spin class here is $6 and a spin class in LA and New York is $35. But you get a trainer for a couple of sessions and have them write a little program for you. And yeah, there are some that'll be like, well, I don't want to write. Why should I write a program for you? You should come and see me. But there are others that need work. And we'll do it. We'll write you a little program. We'll show you around the equipment. And again, another option would be you can do at-home videos. You can get used ones for cheap. You can stream them for friggin' geez. Kids nowadays are getting stuff off of apps, fitness apps, and taking them to the gym and working out with their little gym program on their phone on an app. They'll all say, like, do this. And that's another option.
I think your first one is the best, though. I truly do, being accountable to somebody else.
And I need a program.
I think that's awesome.
If somebody says, do this and this, that's great.
Type A. Yeah. Yeah. A class could also be good for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going to recommend a class, too. So, again, the boutique fitness thing's really hot right now. The boot camps and the spinning and the yoga and all that stuff is all super hot right now. But if you can't afford a class, and you join a gym that will usually have a host of classes, and try out the whole calendar there. And let the teacher know. Just say, like, it's my first time in the class. What do I need to know? And one of the things I recommend, like, even when we were in Spain on work, then England on work, then I got home, and then I went to Pennsylvania, and then I was in Australia, and then I had to go to New York. And there was, like, honestly, like 2 months where I did not get one decent workout in. Like, I was active and, you know, scuba, snorkel, walk around, get a jog in here and there, but like a hardcore workout didn't happen. And I got home and my friend Dan, who I, you know, the ass man who I work out with, was like, oh, when are we going to get a session in? And I was like, oh God, not for 2 weeks. Cause I knew that if I jumped back in, I would puke everywhere. I would be so, so sore. So I was like, I'm going to condition myself. Yeah. You know, I'm going to get myself like, to a decent level where I know I'm not going to break into a cold sweat and puke and be like unbelievably sore. So if you know, get yourself like, just get yourself back in the rhythm, get a couple of moderate workouts in, let the teacher know, look, it's my first class. And that's A, accountability, B, instruction, and C, like it feeds the type A personality.
I got a D. Just so you know, because two people, my sister and my friend Kathy, both been motivated by a goal. My friend Kathy wanted to do like one of those tough mutters, you know, those kind of things. So you set a goal like, I'm going to do that. I think it was called the Rose Bowl. And she did it. Yeah. And her whole group did it together. And my sister did like
that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, like a fit in 40. So they in like 40 days, they just had this focus.
Oh.
So like you have a goal out there.
I like
you
it.
To, yeah. So, you know, a lot of people do half merit, whatever. But
yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you need a half marathon, though. You're lean. You want to get bigger, so don't pick an endurance sport.
Yeah, true. Yeah. But like a tough mutter or something like that.
Yeah, then you'll break your ankle and fall
break your
fire.
Ankle. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
It's always a nice way to start any fitness regime.
Everyone I know who's done one of those races has busted their ankle.
Really?
Every single
I don't one. Think they're all I don't think they're all tough mutters, but they're kind
of
like that.
One of those races.
One of those races, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It was like just every single one busts their ankle. But something to look forward to.
The broken ankle would be a good reason to not work out.
Now, no, let's avoid that.
Okay.
But a fitness event.
Yeah, an event. Some kind of...
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.